I'm Terry Taylor, and this is the Interior Design Business Academy podcast. As an interior designer, you may be thinking, I love what I do, but I am so overworked and underpaid. Let me tell you, I've been there too. I spent many years learning from my own mistakes and developing proven strategies and systems to make interior design a profitable career while keeping it fun and creative. So now, I'm here to help you get paid what you're worth. If you're ready for some straight talk about how design business really works, and you're ready to break through old belief systems that are holding you back and shift into beliefs that support your goals and bring lasting success, you are in the right place. Let's talk about selling product. You know, furniture, drapery, light fixtures, flooring, windows, all that stuff. Now, I know I'm always talking about design fees and getting those done and getting those prices right and getting your numbers up where they belong. But today I want to talk about the product side, because that's another piece of your business. It's not integrated as one thing all looped together, but selling product and profiting from product is a service that you offer your clients, okay, that's beyond the design, right? And it needs to be presented that way in order for people to believe you, right? Okay. So the key thing here is to make sure that you keep the product sales separate from design services, okay? Because they're two totally different things. You need to have a river or a canyon or something in between them. Don't let them get mushed together, or people are going to see you as a furniture salesman. And that's when you get into this questioning, double dipping and that sort of thing, because it's looking that way. It's because you're presenting it that way, not because people automatically see you that way. Okay. So you want to present the purchasing and product part of your business as a white glove service that you provide to your clients should they want you to take the peaks all the way through and provide all of that. Now, if you're working with ideal clients, then that's going to be the case. But you still keep those things totally separate, because one is design and the other one actually is just admin. Because once it gets to the purchasing side, all the design stuff is done, all right? Completely finished, price, details, everything's done. So we're really talking about what happens in the design side has to be totally complete first before you ever purchase anything. Okay. If you stick to that rule and not try to find pieces for people and have them buy them along the way, you will be operating as a designer and not a furniture salesman. All right. So I wanted to make that distinction first, because that's really, really important, because salespeople make a commission on what they sell. And if you're presenting that way, that's how people are going to see you. Designers, interior designers, offer white glove purchasing service after the design is done. Okay. That's how you're going to separate that. Okay. And that means that absolutely there's no purchasing before the design is done. Well, why do I say that? Because you can get yourself into a corner you can't get out of if you're buying stuff along the way. And then you realize, oh, you know, if I hadn't bought that and that, I could do this and we'd be done. And now I can't find that last piece. Right. So the idea is the design gets completely finished and figured out and priced, and it fits in the budget and everything's there before any sales start. Now you're going to say, what do I do if my client wants to buy? They're excited about this. They want to buy it. Don't let them. Okay. Stay in control of the job. The more they want to buy and can't, the more they're going to want to buy the whole thing at the end. So just let that desire build. Okay. It's to your advantage to do it that way. All right. So you get to everything that you need. Now, one of the things that we want to pay attention to here is the cost plus method that most everybody's running on. You've got to realize that 20% or 25%, 30%, 35% is not enough markup on your product. You're going in the hole. In fact, at about 35%, you might be at break even, maybe. Okay. That's what that means. All right. Now, one of the things we know is that people don't actually realize what a deal they're getting when you're doing cost plus 20 and cost plus 35 and that sort of thing. They don't realize that cost is a designer cost or wholesale, and that what you're selling that is way under retail. If they did the math, they could figure it out. But you know what? They don't. They don't. And you're likely to get pushback when you're selling the job about how much that percentage is. Okay. And to their mind, you know, cost to them is retail. They don't understand it. They don't get it. So what happens is they push back and mess around and want to negotiate your 25% or your 35%, which is absurd anyway, because you can't have a viable business on a markup that's that small. It won't work. Okay. The cost of labor and insurance and software and all the other stuff that you have to provide, all the taxes and the insurances, it won't work. Okay. It isn't enough. And when you have people who are pushing back on the number and trying to get you to do less, it gets even worse. Okay. So realize that this is something that really needs to change. Okay. This is a big piece of what we do here at Interior Design Business Academy. It involves some mindset change. Of course it does. However, it's one of the really important keys to having a successful business. Okay. So you need to know that you've got to have more margin on that than you have, or it's not going to work. This 20% commission on a sofa, for instance, from a furniture store that's nearby, or Pottery Barn or something, because they advertise all the time and they're on your computer very often. That's not enough. Okay. That doesn't cut it. You're going backwards if you do that. Okay. And cost plus 30% doesn't do it either, because actually that's less money to you than 20% off the retail. I don't know if you ever do the math on that, but you're not picking up enough. And you know, you have the product responsibility too. If something goes wrong with that product and you sold it, they come to you first. Okay. That is your responsibility. And if the vendor backs you up, great. If the vendor doesn't back you up, you still have product responsibility, because if you don't take care of it, that client's going to tell everybody, right? You know, they tell three people when you do something good, and when you do something they don't like, they're going to tell 30 people, right? So it's something that has to be taken care of, and you have to charge enough margin in order to make it work. Okay. So what's going on here? What is the cause of all this? Well, of course, it's a mindset thing. I mean, that, of course, right? So that's the piece we need to look at first, that challenge. The mindset challenge is that furniture is expensive and designers have a lot of heart. Okay. Those two things. Now, we're often trying to make it less expensive for clients, right? We'd like to make it less expensive for us. I mean, it's a push sometimes, right? And our own money stories about the value of things and what things should cost and that sort of thing get all tangled up in this business part, which, you know, it gets you in trouble, simply does get you in a lot of trouble. And it's because you have a lot of heart. You want to give this job to these people at the best price possible, because that's what would be really important to you. Okay. But your money story is not their money story. And the sooner you can get back out at 40,000 feet and look at this and understand this, the sooner you're going to be able to do this and be profitable and have happy clients at the same time, right? Now, you know, if you're like me, you understand quality design. I mean, you could pick it out. You could see 100 objects at 100 feet away and you could pick out the best piece in that whole thing in a matter of seconds, right? Yeah, right. We all do that. That's part of how our brains work, right? But, you know, always choosing the best and admiring the best when you're younger or when you're in a position where your family just can't afford that, it's just too much. You're always trying to stretch it a little more. Many of us became designers because we were really good at making rooms look good for very little money. Okay. And it's a great talent to have, but save it for home, because it's not how you make a living at this business. Okay. You know, it just isn't. Okay. And this idea of wanting really good quality, wanting the best and being able to pick it out, at, you know, of a mountain of other stuff in a nanosecond. I mean, that's your stock in trade. You know, some people might say that's something like champagne taste with a beer budget. Well, okay. Celebrate it. Yeah. I do have champagne taste. You bet. And do I have a beer budget? Yeah, not so much anymore, but at one time, you bet, you know, and I had to squeeze to get those things. And when you come from that kind of a background, you tend to assume that your clients are feeling the same way. And you try to do for them what you would do for yourself or your sister or your mom or, you know, somebody close to you, when the reality is that's not actually what they want. Okay. Now, you know, this idea of trying to reduce the price to make it affordable to our clients by just taking these teeny percentages on things is really counterintuitive because, you know, it may take a little off the budget. That's actually not what's really important to them. And you're paying for it. I mean, you're paying for it with a business that doesn't make any money. And then you're working hours and hours and hours and you're not gaining freedom. You're not gaining what you should be gaining because of all this give, right? You're out of the flow. You've stepped out of the flow and you're into this giving, 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 and you're not receiving it coming back. All right. And so in the mindset world, it's really important to step into the flow of how these things really work. You know, if you're like me, you know, I always got a personal kick out of buying stuff for clients, especially expensive stuff for clients, you know, stuff that I would never, ever buy for me. But, you know, it was really fun to buy it. Things like a Fortuny lampshades or a handmade, hand-painted tile in a vast quantity, or a couple of Ray Rudin sofas, or, you know, unique and beautiful stone slab that's incredibly expensive and it's going to be so stunning. Okay. I get a kick out of buying that stuff. I mean, it really is fun. Do I need it or want it? Nope. Actually, I don't, because I already bought it for somebody else. I don't need that anymore. I think it's kind of an advantage of being an interior designer is that you get to experience buying those things and getting the charge out of it, going, wow, that's really, really cool. Well, you know what? Your clients get that too. Okay. The really, really cool and expensive is part of the experience. Okay. They're doing something that most other people can't do, and they're getting pleasure in that. Okay. So don't take it away from them, right? Let them have that. Let them have that experience. That's a really important piece. Now, being good with a client's budget is part of what we're charged with. We're absolutely supposed to do that. That is what our job is, right? Okay. Best quality you can get for the amount of money you could spend. Okay. That's the rule. However, it doesn't extend to putting our businesses at risk and our livelihood at risk because we're trying to give something to somebody cheap. And every time we do that, every time we back that price down, going, oh, that's too much. You know, maybe I'll just adjust. I won't make that much. I don't need to make that much on it. Well, actually, you do. You absolutely do. And that what feels like generosity and heart, which actually is what's running your business backwards, though. It's coming out of your pocket. And if you're running those budgets so tight, and I see this over and over again here at IDBA, one of the things we're often coaching on is running a budget so tight that there's no wiggle room in it at all. And when one thing goes wrong, and you know that one thing will go wrong, probably more than one thing. It's Murphy's Law of Design, right? There's got to be something that falls apart or gets askew or gets weird, right? And if there's no extra money in this job, then it means it comes out of your pocket, okay? And you can't afford it. And the reality is these jobs are all bespoke to the client. You will never get to the point where you do a job where nothing goes wrong in the whole thing. I mean, that's an anomaly, right? That's not going to be the way it is, even if you're really, really good at all this stuff, right? It means that you have to have more generosity in your pricing so that you're able to take care of stuff without making it be painful to yourself, without taking food off the table. Okay. So you got to know that when you're running 25%, 35%, you don't have any of that space at all. Okay. There's no wiggle room at all. Okay. And it's almost destined to take you in the wrong direction. Okay. So think of this. The mindset shift is understanding that clients do want to pay quite a lot for things that are important to them, for things that are special. It's part of the experience. It's part of them getting to do these things that others don't get to do. Okay. It's true. Why is your client going to Louis Vuitton and buying a $6,000 bag or 8 or 12 or whatever, however big the bag is and important the bag is? It's the experience and the walking around with it, with the initials all over it. So everybody knows how much you paid for that bag and that you can do that. Okay. That's the experience they're getting. And that's the experience you need to be providing. Okay. It's not about squeezing by and trying to get something for nothing, you know, and even if they make noises about that, it isn't really true. Or actually it's true. It's just that their version of it is so much larger than our version as kind of regular muggle people. You know, it doesn't translate, right? So don't take away that client's joy and experience of being able to do something really special and being able to pay for it and pay well for it. And by the same token, you're well paid for it. That's the way it's supposed to be. You've earned this. You step into the flow of this. And part of the money they're spending comes to you, considerably more than 35%. Okay. Enough that you actually have a profit at the end of the day, and they're not just paying bills. Okay. So what's the answer to all this? Okay. Well, it's sell your product at retail. Okay. That's it. Okay. And before you say, my clients aren't going to pay for that. You know, that's the first pushback I get. Oh no, they're not going to pay for that. Da, 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 da. Stop. Okay. That whole piece is a belief that you're holding. Okay. And when you hold that belief, you can't possibly get to a profitable business, right? Because beliefs are not necessarily true. Okay. They're not truths. They're just based on some experience somewhere. Mostly this piece would be something about our childhoods and money and family and how things were handled and the messages we got during that. Okay. But it's not now. So what happens is these beliefs are really just thoughts that are in our head because of something that happened or somebody said something or something like that. And they get repeated enough that they turn into habits of thinking that way. And after a while, the habit turns into a belief. And there it is running your life in the background, you know, all under the surface for sure, because it's not something you're thinking about, but it's running everything. Okay. And we need to back up a little bit and take a look at what we're doing and realizing that our money story is not the same as our clients, not at all the same as our clients. And when we take our money story and try to put it into our clients' jobs, we don't do a good job for them because we're not giving them what they're actually asking for. And we really penalize ourselves and beat ourselves up. And having a good design job, doing a great job for a client doesn't include beating yourself up. It doesn't have to be there. Okay. You know, you're going to go the extra mile when you have to, but you don't build the whole job on losing yourself in this thing. Okay. So I want you to take a look around and I want to take a look at Restoration Hardware, for instance. Now, your good clients like Restoration Hardware. In fact, they've probably bought some things there. Restoration Hardware has some pretty bold pricing, if you've noticed, you know. Go look some of that stuff in the catalog. And realizing that those big, bold retail prices that never go on sale and they're never discounted, okay, that's part of the rule of high-end stuff. They don't do that, right? Doesn't happen. And it's plus freight and plus delivery, all right? So take it from a big retailer how this works, okay? People are really think that Restoration Hardware is the coolest thing and that it's really good quality furniture and that's why it's so expensive and da-da-da. Now, we might not agree with that, but these clients are there. I mean, they're there. They're ready paying top price and they love it, okay? And they want to tell people how much they paid for it, right? They want everybody to know, okay? So it's cool, okay? When you're in that position, then you could sell from that position too. When you look at what they're doing, they are serving the same clients that we are or that we want to, okay, depending on where you're at in your business, right? It's the same client base. In fact, that you've probably come into a job or two where somebody's gone to RH and bought a bunch of stuff, and then they call you to fix it and try to put it together because it doesn't make sense and it's all jumbled up. But nonetheless, they are happily paying those prices, right? You can step into that too. So retail is the way to go. You know that it means that you have to develop the back end of your business. Okay, now what am I saying there? Well, I'm saying another piece we work on here at IDBA. The back end of your business is the relationships that you have with your vendors on the back end that allow you to have deeper profits. Okay. That means we eliminate all the local furniture stores, Pottery Barn, Crate and Barrel, all that. You're not going to buy from them. I don't know if you do, it's going to be one little piece here and there that you can't get elsewhere, right? That's not the way you build a design business, right? So what has to happen is you've got to develop your wholesale relationships, be it with your outside reps, be it with your design centers, be it at market. All of those places are, you know, all amazingly inspirational. Okay. That's a really good part of it. But going to market is not just running around looking at everything and going ooh and ah and going to the parties and that sort of thing. It's about developing the vendor relationships that you want to be the base of your business, the base of this profit center of your business. Okay. And it's not without work and it's not without a little vulnerability. Okay. You need to know how to do this. You need to know what to say, how to present yourself, what needs to be there, but it's sitting there for you. Okay. And it's not in the rule book and they don't teach it in design school or any of those things. It's something we work on a lot here at IDBA. But, you know, besides that, it's this ability to buy really well and sell at retail that gives your business the foundation of being profitable. And you deserve to be profitable. You're supposed to be profitable. You deserve it. You're given heart and soul to these people and they are willing to pay you and it needs to flow back into your bank account as well. Okay. So, you know, so that your design business remains highly profitable and always stays that way. Okay. So until next time, design something beautiful. Get paid what you're worth. Bye bye. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Interior Design Business Podcast. If you love what you're hearing each week, let me know by leaving a rating and a review. And don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss out on clear, proven, repeatable, step-by-step recipes for attracting ideal luxury clients I share in each episode. As always, you can head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com to check out the links and resources from this episode. Till next week. Design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth.